Let's look in Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to begin reading with verse 20, and we're going to read down through the end of the chapter, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This is a passage that is positive in many ways of what we should be doing, or how our heart should be, the activity of our eyes, our ears, our lips, our steps that we take. If you would take your Bibles and flip over to Romans chapter 12, I want us to look at this passage in Romans chapter 12 that in many ways corresponds with this as far as our heart and our attitude. Romans chapter 12, you're familiar with the verses, I'm sure, verses 1 and 2. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Notice there's a comma there after the word holy. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what the Lord desires for us to be seeking after. This is what we should seek after. We should desire to be submitted to the Lord, our bodies, our mind, our soul, spirit, all of us, 100%. Should be given to the Lord. Now, there's ways of accomplishing that, and of course the Word of God has everything to do with that, and allowing the Word of God to speak to us, to guide us, to clean us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. It's everything to the child of God. And that's why we see back here in our passage, the Word of God, first of all, in verse 20, it's talking about, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, I know Solomon, who spoke this originally, is not our father, not our dad. But he was the dad of who he was speaking to, and God did inspire these words. So we can take these words and look at them as from our Heavenly Father. Amen. And make proper application there as applying them from the Lord to us. Inclining, turning our ear towards heaven, and listening to what God has to say. I'm convinced that many folks are not reading their Bibles today. I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians, Baptists, not reading their Bibles like they ought to. I'm also convinced that those that use other versions and go to the contemporary things that's available out there, I'm convinced they're not reading their whatever it is they're carrying as well. They cannot quote Scripture to you. That's one of the things about the King James Bible. It's easier to memorize. It's got those words and the sentence structure that's easy for your mind to grasp a hold of. Easier, let's say. The others, like reading the newspaper, or if someone does quote it, you'd wonder if that's their words or the words of God. For the most part, with our Bible, there's no doubt about it that we're quoting Scripture when we quote Scripture. And so it helps us to remember it. He says, my son, attend to my words. What does that mean? That means to listen to them, to obey them, to apply them to our lives, to our situations, to the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We listen to what God has to say or said about it. And we've, and I've mentioned this before, The little thing that took place, a little fad, I guess, a few years ago, the WWJD thing, do you remember that? And it was on bumper stickers and hats and shirts and everything. And a lot of folks said, WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know, that's been around since Jesus was here, that thought or that concept of what would Jesus do if he were in my situation. And that's good. That's a good thought. But how can we know what Jesus would do if he were in my situation if we don't know what Jesus did?
Indeed. That's right.
And to know what Jesus did, we have to read the Scripture, the Gospels in particular. If we would want to do what Jesus would do if he were in my situation, then we have to know what he did when he walked among men. And so he says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not," verse 21, "let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." In the midst of our heart. Now, this verse 23, we're going to talk a little bit and have some verses to share about the word heart today. And what is our heart? It's the innermost part of our being. It's that which makes us different than everybody else. It's that which makes me, and you. It's our heart. That which is in the depth of our being, our intellect, emotion, and our will. All those are connected with that. Just another verse here, Isaiah 55, verse 3. It says, "Incline your ear and come unto me." You see, he says, "Come unto me," God's saying. "And come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." And so, there is an effort, there is a desire for us to hear and to be attentive and to apply what God has said. For they, it says in verse 21, "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart." For what does verse 22 say? "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Isn't that really the answer to what everybody's looking for today? Life and health. Now, I'm not talking about what the world is looking at. We need to separate this from what the world's looking at. What the world says they would like is life and health. But that's not really true, because it's available to them. But men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. What does light do? Light reveals, doesn't it? Light reveals what's in our life and what we're doing, and reveals our hearts, the light of God's word. And so, but for the child of God, they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Does this mean that I'm going to be healthy if I apply and live in the word of God? We're going to be healthier than we would otherwise. I promise you that. A healthy lifestyle, for one thing. And then there's, what about the stress that's involved and the peace that you get from the Lord? All those are connected. And so how we are spiritually is connected to how we are physically, and vice versa. And we need to be yielded to the will of God and be in His place, be where He wants us to be. There's things about our health and about our longevity I don't understand yet. I'm not quite sure how it all works. I'm still studying on that. Still studying on that. And there's parts of that I don't know that we'll know until we get there, as far as when the Lord takes us home, and when it's time, when He's done with us and all that, because there's so many, you're you and I'm me, and I can't be you and you can't be me, so I can only consider what has happened in my life. And I do know that the Lord has protected me from things. I understand that. I believe that. I'm assured of that. Because I have followed Him, or I've trusted Him, or I've done what He said. And we're not going to get into necessarily the physicians, but we find that the Lord, Luke himself was a physician, called the beloved physician. We find that there's nowhere in the Scriptures that physicians are criticized as such, but that they should be used, but not trusted in as the Lord. We do what we can, and God does what we cannot. And so, The wisdom in using physicians and doing the procedures and all that, we need that from the Lord. We need direction. But the spiritual life that we get, Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Don't you believe and feel that you have a more abundant life since you came to know the Lord?
Amen.
Than you did before?
Right.
Old things passed away, behold, all things become new. New creation, new creature in Christ. For they are life. The concept of life, I remember when I was in high school and my biology teacher was a Christian. Very interesting. And he said, you know, the evolutionists want to go further back as far as when life began. Millions and billions and billions of years ago when life began. And then they want to talk about evolution. And he says, if you ever talk to an evolutionist, he said, ask them what would cause such a change in going from one life form to another. What would cause that? Is it just, the evolutionists will say purely it's environment, but that is not true. That could not happen. You know, if that were true, I'd have a third arm. I'd have a third arm by now, I think, because do you know how handy a third arm would be? But where would you put it? Come out the back. You might hold something to drill, you know, or to paint or something like that. It'd be very handy, wouldn't it? No, God knew what He was doing when He made us. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and man became a living soul. We find that there is life, not only physical life, but there is spiritual life. And the spiritual life is far more important than the physical life, or becomes more important than the spiritual life, because you, with spiritual life, then you'll live eternally with the Lord. And if you don't, then you'll have eternal death. If you're born once, you die twice. And if you're born twice, you die once. I like the life that I have in the Lord. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Look at verse 23. Now, verse 23 is a favorite verse of youth directors and pastors and speakers. I don't know, been to a lot of youth rallies and revivals and youth camps and all that down through the years. And there's no telling how many messages I've heard on verse 23 to the young folks. We've got some young folks here today. Amen?
Amen?
Raise your hand if you're still young. Yeah, there we go. Still young. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, let's make something clear here. For the saved person, a saved person has a new heart. We've been saved. Things are different. We pass from death unto life. A lost person has a lost heart, sinful heart, a wicked heart. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, Jesus said. We're going to look at some scripture. But here's what I understand that the majority, if not everybody here today, knows the Lord. I understand that. And that's what I want to deal with. The point is to keep our hearts. Those of us, and I believe he's talking to someone in consideration of knowing the Lord. Keep my heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Lord is the one who gave me the new heart. I really didn't do that. He did it. Amen. I received it, amen. But he gave it. But it's up to me to keep it. And I can't. It's possible for me to keep it. I don't mean by keeping myself saved. I'm kept by the power of God. I don't mean that at all. But I can focus on a clean heart and keeping my heart right with God. And that's my responsibility. Keep thy heart with all diligences, for out of it are the issues of life. Psalm 40 and verse 8, listen to the psalmist. He says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. So what is the what makes it possible for us to have our heart right with God or to keep our heart? It's the Word of God. What is it, Psalm 119? Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And time and time and time again, the Psalm 119 taught, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Did you know there's a difference between wholeheartedness and half-heartedness? I remember, I think I painted, Dad gave me the responsibility of painting a door. One day, came, he said, son, when you get home from school, I want you to paint that door. So I painted the door. And you can imagine, I was in a hurry. I wanted to go out and play some basketball with the neighbor. So you can imagine what that door looked like. And Dad came in and said, son, half-hearted effort. Half-hearted. And I looked at it and I said, I had to agree. I couldn't argue with that. It looked rough. He said, you didn't take enough time, didn't take enough effort. You could have been more careful. You could have done a better job. And so a wholehearted effort, though, would have been doing a better job. And keeping our heart, or keeping our heart with all diligence, it's a wholehearted effort, I should say. Proverbs chapter 20 and 28 and verse 26, listen to this. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So if I leave God out of this, if I try to do things in my own way, in my own aspirations, and do whatever I think is right, like I did that time with my dad painting the door, so to speak. If the Lord gives me a responsibility and I treat it like I did that responsibility for my dad, then I would be a fool. He says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And of course we know that, is it Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? It's talking about the lost heart. But we need to be reminded that we still live in a world with temptation. We have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that we have to contend with. And it is possible also for our heart to grow cold, to get a cold heart. Oh, we're still saved, but our heart has grown cold to the things of the Lord, to reading His Word, to prayer, to fellowshipping with God's people, to worshiping the Lord, to witnessing for the Lord. All that is connected. It's all connected with our fellowship and keeping our heart with all diligence. Let me read to you another couple of verses and we'll move on. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So he says here, there's something to be learned, there's something to be held on to, there's something to be practiced. There's something even to be taught as far as our heart is concerned. Why is this verse used in youth rallies and camps and all that for young people? Because we know how easy it is. Did you know if we take our eyes off the Lord and start living with the world for just a brief period of time, did you know it only takes a few minutes to lose your testimony?
Amen. Right.
A testimony that may have taken years to build or to have can be lost in just a few moments. And that's why he says, and that's why this verse is so important. But it's not just important for the young folks. It's important for the older folks as well. Us older folks. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The Lord Jesus said it about as simply as it could be said. A good heart. Have you ever heard someone talked about or described as saying, they've got a good heart? Wow, what a compliment. They've got a good heart. You know, have you ever heard the term, let me state it like this. One of the greatest compliments that you can give to someone is that they either have a good heart or that they've got a servant's heart. They go together, don't they? A servant's heart for the Lord. Now, let's move on. Verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. We talk about this froward person. It's mentioned several times in the book of Proverbs. It's talking about one that actually the word is the same word in verse 24 is the word that we that's talking about frowardness is the word perverse, a perverted person, a crooked person, a contrary person. Now, I was pretty contrary as a child. But this goes a step forward than just having a contrary spirit. This comes when we're talking about frowardness. It's talking about that becomes sin, that becomes wicked, that sinfulness is involved. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. And we could talk a lot about what we say, and Proverbs talks a lot about that. James talks a lot about our tongue and the power of our tongue. I remember down in school, I think it was first grade. I didn't go to kindergarten. I was in first grade. But I remember somebody saying something about somebody else, and they told the teacher. And the teacher said, "Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, that's the biggest lie that's ever been told. Did you know that words do hurt?
Amen.
And they can hurt longer than sticks and stones.
Right.
Sure can. Now, I'm not here to be talking about political correctness, and I'm not talking about how sensitive we are and how easily offended we are by something that somebody says. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are just downright mean and hateful and destroy others and slandering others. That can be done. Did you know that even happens in church?
Amen.
Churches?
Right.
Wow. Put away from thee. And when he says, put away from thee a froward mouth, I think he's saying here, listen, this is not just something that lost people do. This is something that a saved person can do. This is something that anyone can do, is use their lips for destruction and evil. Perverted lips put far from thee. Then verse 25. Well, let me read verse, share with you a verse considering that. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. You know, there's things that people have said to you years ago that you have not forgotten.
That's right.
And when you think about them now, it still hurts. It's still troubling. But then, you know, there's things that people have said to you that have been a blessing and have been an encouragement. It may have just been two or three words, but you remember it. It may have just been a sentence, but you remember it. I remember some things that preachers have said to me over the years, just brief sentences to me personally. And it's such a blessing. Keep trusting in the Lord. I'll never forget it. Things that preachers have said and people have said to me. Things that loved ones have said, using our tongue, using our heart for that which is good. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. There can be so much damage done. And we'll go further into this as we come to other verses along the way. Let's look at the next verse. If you let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. I think, again, he's saying in the whole thing, verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. These verses go together. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. He's talking about going down the path, going down the right path, going down God's path. Not being drawn aside by temptation, not being tempted to do that, to get off the path that God has for us. Keeping our eyes on who? The Lord. Keeping your eyes on the Lord. That's such a simple statement, isn't it? Keep your eyes on the Lord. How many times have people said that? How many times has the preacher said that? Just keep your eyes on the Lord. We look at it and think, well, that's so simple. It's so simple, it's profound. It's a profound truth that when we keep our eyes on the Lord, everything else is going to be fine. Regardless. Wow. And you see it through Scripture. Those that kept their eyes on the Lord, He guided. He watched over. He protected. He encouraged. He strengthened. Look at the Apostle Paul and how God used him. Simply, can you imagine that? Remember when he was on the ship out there in that storm? He kept his eyes on the Lord. And God helped him through it. God had already told him. God had told him it was going to be okay. And when God says it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 5 and 17 says, "See that you walk circumspectly," or wisely, "not as fools, but as wise. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Did you know it's possible for the child of God to know what the will of the Lord is? And it's the will of the Lord is something that's done day by day. As a teenager, I wanted to know what God wanted me to do for the rest of my life. Lord, do you want me to be a missionary, a pastor? Do you want me to be a teacher in a Bible college? What do you want me to do? I wanted to know then what He wanted me to do 20, 30 years from then. But He said, "No, that's not the way it goes." He said, "You do my will today and I'll take care of tomorrow."
Right.
So we do His will today and He'll take care of tomorrow. And that's hard to do because I want a plan. I want to plan on doing this and I want to plan on doing that. And the Lord says, just hang on. Just hang on. Understanding what the will of the Lord is, walking in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's what we do. Look at verse 26. "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." All thy ways, not some of them, not most of them, but all of them. Let all of our ways be established in the Lord. That which we do, that which we practice, that which we... the path of our life, the direction of our life, the decisions that we make, the fellowships that we have, the company that we keep. Yes, even that. Verse 27, "Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Now, he says there's danger in going to the extremes. And we can look at that in many different ways and in the spiritual world and scriptural world. Extremes. But being balanced, being a balanced child. And when I'm talking about being balanced, I'm talking about being balanced with the Lord, going in the right direction, not leaning to this way or not leaning to that way. Not being pulled aside by that which would take us. You know, the world and the devil and the flesh would like to derail us, would like to knock us off the path, would like to destroy our life, would like to make God look bad. And our influence be destroyed, because when we lose our influence, we've lost everything as far as our witness is concerned. The devil wants to destroy that. And that's why we have to keep going right down the straight path. The straight, it's called what? The straight and narrow. Right. Because there's dangers on both sides. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Psalm 119, verse 59, and we'll close. This is the psalmist speaking now. The psalmist says, "I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies." Wow. He said, I was thinking about the direction that I'm going and the ways of my life and my path. And he said, I turned my feet to thy testimonies. Not his heart, not his mind, but his feet. Isn't it interesting that he said that? He could have said his mind or his heart, but he said his feet, talking about the direction that he went. You know, there are some folks that believe that, yeah, we're created by the Lord, and He created all this, and then He threw us out there and just said, "Yeah, okay, there you go. Y'all do the best you can." But as I read my Bible and as I consider what God has done and how He's created us and what the heart that He's given us and ability to know Him, I'm convinced He's far more involved in our life day to day and moment by moment than we even realize. I'm convinced of that. And so if that's true, wouldn't we be blessed by following Him and letting Him direct our paths and our steps? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer.